Ja, velkommen til. Det er jo dejligt at se så mange i alle mulige forskellige aldersgrupper. Jeg vil bare lige sige nogle praktiske ting lige først. Det er, at vi har 55 minutter sammen med Raoul her. Og spørgsmål er til sidst, og Martin her vil komme rundt med en mikrofon, hvis der er spørgsmål til Raoul til sidst. Yep, godt. And then I'll just make a short introduction and welcome Raoul in English, so you know what I have been telling. Yes. Raoul is a senior advisor on cybercrime on United Nations, but also former hacker. And he has been working with profiling hackers around the world. And he will give us insight into who, why, and what these hackers are working on. So welcome, and we are looking forward to hearing.
Thank you so much. Thank you. So 1, 2, 1, 2. Yes, it works. Okay, good morning, everyone. I'm sorry I don't speak Danish. It's the first time for me in my country, even if I travel all over the world, but it was actually a missing one. This is going to be a very heavy presentation. Actually, I mailed my contact, the organizer Anders, at 3 a.m. This morning, saying, like, I got an idea, I got more material. He told me, no, you must be in 50 minutes plus 5 for the questions and answers. So I decided not to delete the extra material, but to move it at the end as extra material. So you will have the chance to take it, study it, and whatever. Let's start. I have a mandatory disclaimer. It's not mandatory that everything that I'm going to tell you reflects the opinion of the institutions on my back. We have an agenda, introductions, about hackers and how they evolved them. I decided, because I don't know the audience, I don't know if you are into technical things or not, most of the times whenever I speak to criminal researchers and crime researchers, they don't really have a clear idea of cybercrime. So I decided just to put a couple of slides from crime to cybercrime, and then some real examples. Because even when I speak to the people from information security, they think they know, but they don't really know. So I will try to bring you with a few slides in a jump into the real cybercrime, so real stuff. Then HPP, Hackers Profiling Project, MDDDI. So it's my creature, and I will explain you all everything that we did in 10 years, what we mistaken and missed, and what we will do in the next years. A clip, because I found this amazing clip. You will be amazed, really. And then the conclusions. Some reading room. I love to read books so much. So I brought to you a couple of slides on all the books that I really advise you to read. And then I had another idea tonight at 3 a.m. So I added a few slides with my last order to Amazon.com. I spent like $600 on books, but I'm happy. We have to do it if we want to study. And then a 5 minutes for the Q&A and the extra material, as I told you and promised you. So let's go to meet each other's. Every time I show these slides, I'm kind of embarrassed because I started this job while actually entering the hacking environment back in 1986. And I started to deal with information security in 1996. So it's a long time. That's why I got all of this stuff here. Actually, I'm very proud to have been a member of the PSG at the European Security Agency. I joined UN back in 2003. I belong to communities because I think that if you take from the community, you have to give back to the community. It's about your free time, your knowledge, and so on. So I'm proud to be a member to ISACOM, ICANN, APWG, OWASP, and so on and so on. But let's talk about you. Unicri is one of the smallest institutions in the big environment of UN. It's the United Nations Interregional Crime and Justice Research Institute. So we were established a long time ago. Our goal, of course, is to study on crime and to fight crime. Specifically, what we do, I belong to the ECU, Emerging Crimes Unit. We deal with cybercrime, with everything that is here, but of course, we are going to zoom in on cybercrime. We have a strategy on cyber threats. So our main goals actually it's to profile hackers and cyber criminals. And you can see a first I mean, one thing are hackers and a different thing is they are or they should be the cyber criminals. And I will get into the details of this. We really aim to understand how the Bits approach it changed and evolved so much, and the links with organized crime. Again, I will zoom onto this in the next slides. What drives us so ending law for is the MO, is the modus operandi of these people, because they got a creativity that you got no idea. So we really have to understand them in order to be able to fight them. And we do specific trainings on these topics. I think that we are one of the few institutes in the world actually to do this. But HPP, it is also project with ISECOM, Institute for Security and Open Methodologies. If some of you is coming from the InfoSec side, you may have heard about us. We are the guys of OSS TMM, Open Source Security Testing Methodology Manual, which is the standard all over the world for pen testing. Pen testing, it means when a security expert is hired in order to try to attack a target and then explain all the holes and the mistakes. What do we do? We do three projects. So OSDEM is the most known all around. Since I see so many teenagers in the hall, I advise you to take a look also to Hacker High School. It's not something to learn how to hack, no. It's a set of free stuff in order to understand how to be more secure. So it's really interesting and intriguing. Hackerhighschool.org. We have a set of 25 free lessons and exercises to learn from. But I'm here today to speak about HPP Hackers Profiling Project. So about hackers, this is a nice slide. It would take a long time to give you some comments about, but just to give an idea, those guys are, they used to be the MOD, the Master of Deception, and back in January 15, 90, they shut down AT&T. AT&T at the time was the biggest operator for phone calls at that time. So imagine a gang of teenagers being able to shut down all the communication in the United States just because of a fight between MOD and the LOD, the Lords of Doom, another gang of hackers. But I'll get into the details of all these aces and stuff. So hackers, this is also why we decided to start Hackers Profiling HPP. We were kind of tired to read in the media and the news hackers as a term so generic. It means that there has been a misuse in the use of the word, especially from the media side. They used to apply this term for every kind of attack, from a so stupid and easy to perform attack to the most sophisticated ones. Whenever we speak to the companies, enterprises, and governments, they don't really know who is scaring them. They just say it's hackers. But hackers, as I will show you, that doesn't mean anything at all. It's too generic. So everything has got a start. At the early stage, at the beginning, hacker was actually a good term. You used to be a hacker and you used to create the internet to be at the Xerox labs and so on, speaking about the first stage. So at that time, hacker was not a bad word at all. Then 80s, generation number two, that I decided to split in two parts. The first part, let's say from the 80 to 84, those guys, they jumped into hacking because they were so curious to learn. So no money involved, no crimes, nothing of that kind. If we want to be precise, the first law against hacking was back in 1984 or 1986 with the Computer Fraud Abuse Act in the United States. So at that time, there were not only, there were some curious guys that they wanted to learn. But then something happened that maybe you can't remember. Hollywood and the movie War Games in 1983. So the second part, they started to join in the world of hacking because it was trendy. It was just so cool, as in the movie, to hack and to do that kind of stuff. And then more and more Hollywood's around. Generation number three, they were driven by the anger for hacking, and somehow we were able to see a kind of dependency from hacking. So they were addicted to hacking and they could not stop anymore. So we have a mix of that, to be curious still, to learn new stuff. But something important happened. A community that they used to be stealth, they decided to jump and go public. So we have seen some e-zines like Frack and 2600. It means that hackers, they were trying to speak each other, exchanging ideas and going public. For the third, I don't have any Hollywood stuff, I'm sorry. Why? Because everything is about USD, Euro, or RMB, and Yen, and so on. Everything is about the money. So we have two drivers. It's the angerness, they're angry with something, or it's because the money. At the opposite of the previous three, their know-how is not high at all, and I will explain you why. Often they think that it's cool and bragging to be hackers, but they are not interested at all in the history of hacking, in the ethics of hacking. When hacking meets with the idealism, is hacktivism with an H, or if it's about the crime, it's cybercrime, and we are here actually to speak about cybercrime. In the 80s and 90s, it was very easy. Black hats, gray hats, and white hats. So easy, easy, easy. A black hat, it means that he was the criminal. I mentioned over here, they were the guys that were hacking in order to steal the data and resell it. It's not something new, because I'm mentioning Hagbard and Pango from Germany. They were two hackers from the CCC, the Chaos Computer Club. And back in 1989, they were hired by the KGB in order to hack into US targets on government and military sites. So the information warfare thing, it isn't a new thing. It's kind of old. The gray hat, they don't want to be identified. I don't want to say I belong to the bad side or the good side. It's something in the middle. They could do other stuff, but they decided to not. So this could be the roots of the ethical hacking approach. It's here. It's starting from here. The white hats or hunters, they are those guys that go to hunt on the bad guys. So often they cooperate with the law enforcement, authorities, and governments, and so on and so on. This is a very interesting slide because here we had, here we had until 2000, but then from 2000 to up to now, many things happened. Between 2000 and 2002, some gangs of hackers, let's keep on to name them hackers for now, they decide, hey, let's test the Maverick. Let's see if our skill set may be applied to something. And actually, the answer has been a yes. So if you have ever heard about the S-School Slammer, it has been a worm. If you heard about the attack to SCO, SEO, if you heard about the attacks to the DNS backbone, there were the guys. Then 2003 to 2004, they say, hey, it worked. So why don't we extort? Why don't we ask for money in order to don't do something or in order to do something? And that in order to do something is bringing us to 2005 and 6 for hire. So we have seen and we spoke with guys or teams or gangs that they confessed to us, yes, we are on the market. If a company has got a competitor and they want to hire us, it's fine with us. So this has started a long time ago. Between 2007 and 9, it was the age of the botnets and the command and control. A botnet is an ensemble of computers that they got some bad stuff inside. So if you think like an army, you are the commander, the command and control. And with a single click, you can send orders to thousands or more of computers. But you will see actually in the clip that I mentioned it. Then we enter in the core age of cybercrime, that is today. And then we are heading on the cyber war. I don't agree with the term of cyber war because it's not regulated at all. It's something so vague, but it's happening. If you think about right now in Ukraine, it's a cyber war. It's ongoing. It's going on. This is the GM from the Australian Earth in Australia, Computer Emergency Response Team, that actually he's saying the same things that I just told you. 10 years of cybercrime. So the day that the money became the focus of malware is the day that the internet has changed. So this happened exactly from there up to now. What the hell has changed then? What has changed is the attacker's typology. So I'm kind of sure that in your mindset you have the stereotype every time that we say hacker. Of a young teenager, they are always teenagers. They do always hack a target that is on the other end of the world. They do it at night only, and the parents are downstairs having the dinner. That's the stereotype that we have in our mindset. And there is always a can of cola or the Red Bull and so on. No, I'm sorry. Those images are gone, or they were belonging to Hollywood again. Today we have teenagers, yes we do. We also have adults, but they are not mandatory ICT experts or hackers. They do it for the money, as I told you. What has changed is the profile of the attacker, why they do it, the kind of targets that they choose, and the match between these two elements, who and why. And at the end, I'm so sorry, but organized crime took it all over, because what I'm going to stress you or the next time I will be speaking, is that we are speaking about organized crime. It's not anymore kids, games, or whatever. No. So let's enter into cybercrime. As I told you, I love books. I love history. I think that we have to study history because it's a playback. So everything that happened will happen again. And one thing I learned is that this is so true. Every new technology opened the doors to new criminal approaches. An example, the car, an easy example, cars. Cars were created a long time ago, 2 centuries ago in UK. It is just in the history that the relationship between the bad and the good guys. Oop. Okay, now I understand all the smiles from the audience. So, it's in the history that the relationship between the bad guys and the good guys is like the mice and the cats. So I will always try to run them one after each other. When they created the cars, the bad guys, they began to steal the cars and rob the banks because it was much more easy to run away, to escape onto a car instead of a horse or by run. So the good guys, which is the police, they invented the car plates. That's why we have car plates now, as of today. So guess what the bad guys they did? They started to steal the car plates or clone, falsify, create their own car plates. So it's a loop, and it will always be in this way. Now, this slide is important. I know that this is a strong approach, but I think that those cars have been the cars of the past is the IT and ICT of today. What I mean is that the universal currency is the information and why. One thing I learned in more than 25 years is that if you got that, you have the power. And what do I mean? Because that info, as today, it's on your PC, it's on your tablet, is onto your smartphone, is an Excel file, is a PowerPoint, is your email, is a DB, is your stuff. But it's not so easy to steal it. So whenever you get access to the data, you can transform it in 3 or 4 things. And this always happens. It is a competitive advantage that company A has got against company B, or government A against company B, or me against you, or you against her, and so on. It's something critical that I know about you, and maybe you know that I know, or you don't know that I know. And it's called blackmailing. If you think about the attack to a big bank, JPMorgan Chase, this happened. They hacked into. They didn't steal any money. They just called the bank. Well, it has been a call, but I got in contact with the bank, and they said, "Do you really want all the names and surnames and details of your customers to be on the web, or you are going to pay us?" And then, no more news on the media and so on. So I think that I found an agreement. So this brings us to money. Or it can be just a revenge. Indeed, I've tried to make some examples. And here, everything that has happened here and is public, or kind of public, you can bring it back to 1, 2, 3, or 4, or a mix of 1 and 3, and so on. I told you that it's organized crime. Me and my colleagues at the UN, we used to claim this back in 2007, in 2006. And the colleagues from Interpol, Europol, and so on, Europol didn't exist at the time, they answered us back, "Your research is great, but don't you think that that's far too much? We really don't think that cybercrime will ever be so much a big issue compared to those other three international kind of crimes." And then this happened. "We are sorry, we would have preferred to be a mistake, but we were right." And at the end, as of today, the cybercrime is into the top 4 club. This is the estimation from 2011. Why we estimate? Because it's not something that is official. They don't send invoices, and they don't pay taxes, so we can estimate. But as of 2014, we estimate at least $20 billion of dollars of revenues that they put straight in their pockets. If you want some more, I advise you to go to their paper from Group IB, is in Russia, and they know their job also because it's the country of cybercrime at the end. So they have the figures about all the cybercrimes and the money all around the world. And they split it. So, for example, 830 millions is from spam, 230 is from the command and control, etc., etc. And this is a free report. Which are the key points of cybercrime? Cybercrime key points is about to use IT tools and TLC in order to commit crimes in plenty of matters. So it's easy. There is an axiom at the end that I explained to you. So they acquire the data in order to transform it to cash out, in slang, into money. There are some key points. It's not real. I mean, their mindset is unreal, isn't in the real world. So there is a pyramidal approach. The anonymity, the command and control is so flexible and scalable. They are very quick to move and rebuild all of their infrastructures. They use cross-selling. So one incredible thing is that they are so able to differentiate all the products and services, but they are also able to have a product that is bought by the different profiles of partners or buyers. The entry fee is very low. If you think that to join the world of cybercrime is expensive, no, it's really cheap. So this is one of the prices that we have to pay. The return of investment is amazing. We are speaking about something around the 700%, 800% of ROI for each attack. And I will show you some details in the clip I told you. What do they sell? Here I've tried just to recap for you, is a quick resume. But ID theft, identity theft on the credit, hacking, industrial espionage, all the malware. Whenever we say malware, it's a family, so everything is over there. Hacking on demand, so I would like to hire you in order to hack onto that competitor. Spam, don't under-evaluate spam, is a big business, really. Etc. I highlighted in red those examples that I'm going actually to show you. Let me just take a look at the time. Okay. So, examples. This slide will not be published, of course, in the official release. Why? Because these are credit cards, and they are still active. You see, this will expire in February 2019, 17, 20, and so on and so on. How we get it? We got it from the black market. Why? Because we do intercept, in order to learn, we intercept all the botnets and the command and control when we are able to. And why? Because we want to see what they sell, how they sell, who is selling, and what is the approach that they use. So in this case, I decided to show you this slide because it's so complete. One small thing, they even decided to put all the flags of the countries. So I'm commenting because most of the time the data that you have is raw, so no graphics at all, and it's not fancy. They listed down from which site they've been able to steal the credit cards. So this means that it could happen that whenever you go to PayPal, Amazon, eBay, or Facebook, as you do every day, they could be able to steal your data and card and so on. These are standards fields. One thing that intrigued us was that they published it also because this was an internal chart. So it was not supposed to be sent to the customers of the bad guys. They decided to specify also from which IP address on the internet they've been able to attack. This means this is the IP address of the computer from to who they decided to hack into. Do you think that these cards are real ones or not? Real ones? Why? It's fake. It's fake, and don't get fooled because it got colors, holograms, and whatever. You go to the bad guys, and you can buy this machine for 30,000 euros, and it prints everything in the right way, so embossed and so on. Or from the same suppliers, you can buy the keypad, the fake keypads for the ATMs, etc., etc., etc. Again, it's a big market. And this transnational, so the cars that I showed with you before, they got a long story. A gang from those four countries over there, they were buying from hackers in Miami all the dumps. A dumps is the credit card, but it's only is a file. So you got the PIN, that is the number of the card. You got the CVV, which is the security code, the name and surname of the card holder, and the expiration date. But it's a file, so it can be sent on a zip file that is really small and can be, of course, encrypted. And they sent it over there. Then the gang, they said, hey, if we buy the printing machine from Europe, it's going to be expensive and questions. Let's buy it from China because it's so cheap and they don't ask anything. So in this scenario, we have a total of four, five, six countries involved into the crime ring. So from an investigation perspective, it's not easy at all. It's not easy at all because you have to deal with too many and complex things all around the world and timings as well. This is a fool, again, is hacker slang. A fool, it means that on sale, you can find maybe about you, your name and surname, your address, the town, the postal code, phone number for house, a mobile, the date of birth, SSN if you are from US, and more and more. Then your email details, your email address and your password. So if it's only here, it's ID theft. If it's that part plus this plus that plus everything is a fool. If it's only these two, is only, as I mentioned on it in the slide three slides ago, it's only credit info. But all together is a full. And a full is so good because whenever you got a full in your hands, you can really clone an identity of anyone. Because in the real fools, I don't see it here in this one, you will also find the name of your dog, your cat, I mean, everything that the internet asks you when you forget a password or whatever. So it's really easy to be yourself. The weird point is that whenever you sell for the cybercrime, I know that it's funny, but you have to show to the buyer that you are a guy that he can trust. So we have a criminal that is trying to drive a criminal to trust him. In order to do it, they have to show that they are in good faith. So they give for free one fools or two fools just to allow you as a buyer that everything is fine and it works. So you will gain the trust of the guy and the guy will buy stocks and tons of these things. CVV, I mentioned it you before. So this website, the master of CVV, which has been shut down by Interpol back in 2012, they were a gang specialized only in credit card with CVV and e-banking and fools. These are the average of the prices. So if a credit card is from US or Canada, it's really cheap. If it's from EU, isn't so cheap, but again, it depends. There has been a drop down of the prices. So right now, this is a price from 2012. As of today, in 2015, you can find credit card from this country, let's say from all over Europe, between $5 and 10 to 12 each. What is amazing here, too, is this one. BOA stands for Bank of America. It is Citibank and Chase Manhattan Bank. So they claim, hey, we have the login, of course, of e-banking for the customers of these three banks. We have also the email and password. We have the full complete. We checked that on the bank account of every item, there is a 25K. We sell it for 525. Why? Because the MO, the modus operandi of this gang, is not to run the cash out. They decided to be like, the brokers, and they decide to sell only huge amount of data in stocks. So their real approach is there and isn't on the cash out phase. Have you ever heard about these guys, RX Promotion? Whenever you receive spam, these guys is a gang again, and they used to turn over 1,406K per week in USD per week. And you can see a second thing actually, and after I'll go back to the pharma. There is a banner over there to download for free an antivirus, an AV in slang. And this is bringing me actually to point number two. Did you ever have seen this before on your computer? Tell me no. Whew. Good. This is fake. It's not real at all. So the banner that you see over there, or all the time that you Google and you type, I want a free AV, the banners that will answer at the first course are driven by the cybercrime. What does it mean? That everything is fake. It is not a software at all, and it will always answer you that your PC has got malware. So many that with the free demo, you can't clean all of them. So, two things are happening. Whenever you download and install, you are installing on yourself the malware. Keylogger, everything is a track of everything you do on the PC, or switch on your camera, and so on and so on. Point number two, they are really bad people. So they tell you, hey, you know, your malware is too much. You have to pay in order to upgrade if you really want to clean your computer. And if you see from a marketing perspective, the stuff that they create, even if they don't exist at all, they are really so good. It looks like to be a professional product. So they ask you for 50, 60, or 70. So this means that you installed the malware on your own, you already own it in slang, so your PC, it belongs to them, but they are also able to steal you more money. If you still think that these are kids playing, these are the figures, these are the numbers, 100 million USD every year they do in order, because they are able to fool the people. But let's go back to the pharma. Maybe you didn't heard about Eric's promotion, maybe you have seen GlaveMed, because they were active for a long, long time. So these are the people that are spamming counterfeited medicine as the Chalice and Viagra and so on, which is so stupid to buy on the internet because you may die, and of course isn't original products at all. But I'm going to tell you another story. I was actually with some other security experts. We were hunting this gang for a long time, like 3 years and a half. And all the time we got evidences bringing us back to Russia. And all the time we called the police and we sent the logs and whatever. And the law enforcement from at least 5 countries, they used to call us back like, hey, Raul, team, we have a problem. We don't understand why. No answer from St. Petersburg. It looks like all the file has disappeared. And I was seeing in my mind like someone over there just to get the file and to put it over. And we say, what the hell? Why? Why? Because we have all the evidences and the law enforcement over there should just go there and arrest the guy, because we knew who the guy was. All the names, surname, address, everything. The guy was Pavel Red Eye. If you get access to LinkedIn, there should be a group that is named Cybercrime in Russia, Operation Aurora, and a subgroup. And I was a part of the group, and also Pavel. And I will ever forget, he used to write some posts and compliments with me, like, hey, Raul, you and your team are doing an excellent job. Go on like that. And I was saying, hey, does he know that we know, or he doesn't know, or is just stupid or what? No, he was very smart. He was also, as I told you, the boss of the affiliate campaign of Eric's promotion. He was the boss of GlaveMed. He was the CEO of a company that was taking care of the cash out of all the credit and financial aspects of these two enterprises of the spam on pharma. Then one day, what we learn, because it's not true that all the law enforcement are bad, I would say half and half. So one of the, on the good side, one day he sent me an encrypted email and he told me I was at the Duma, which is actually the parliament, and guess who I met? I met Pavel. Say, a criminal at the parliament? Come on, it's not Italy, it's Russia. So they say, no, wait. Also, this guy was the boss of Krutop, that was the biggest spam place, spam entity ever. So still, I was speaking at the good policeman, and he told me, well, look what we found. He's the CEO of Kronopeia, as I told you, but he's a member of the working group of the anti-spam at the Russian Ministry of Communication. So I say, now I got it. Now I understand why it's 3 years and a half that guy is protected. Then at the end, he made a mistake, because all the bad guys, they do a mistake. So he opened a branch of Kronopay in Netherlands, in Rotterdam, under the laws of EU. And the police was able to arrest him because of tax fraud. So he's in jail now. But it took us really a long, long, long time. Why cybercrime became so pervasive? Because it's profitable. As I told you, the costs in order to entry, to get into, and to build the infrastructure and so stuff are low. The tools, is really easy to find the tools. It's not easy, as the example that I just provided you with, to arrest the bad guys. is anonymous. There is a separation between the physical and the real world. So from a psychology perspective, most of the hackers that I spoke with, they answered me, hey, Raul, what do you want? I don't have a knife, I don't have a gun, I don't rob a lady in the street. I'm thirsty. I don't do a real violent crime. I just type on a keyboard in front of a screen. And if the people I hack into are stupid, it's not my fault. So this is their approach. There is what I named hacking prêt-à-porter. It's really easy today to go on the internet, to go on the web, and get tools, even for free. You don't mandatory have to pay for the tools. For the infrastructure, yes, you have to pay, but it's small money. The MO, so all the things that you have to do and how, it's easy. And the more important thing, most of the organized crime groups that we investigated onto, they don't know each other in the real life. So it's like they do something, they have like 2, 10, 1,000 partners, but they don't know in real life themselves. Often I see the people and the governments and the institutions to do a big mistake with cybercrime, under-evaluating the cybercrime. The cybercrime will always be a starting point or a transit point towards other ecosystem, which is information warfare, is the black operations, is industrial espionage or cyber espionage, hacktivism, and so on and so on. So everything actually, or I would say 80 to 90% starts from there. Whenever you say about information warfare, it's about hacking. It's the same tools, it's the same approach. The goals are different, and the skill set is different. So let's enter into hackers profiling. We decided actually to run HPP in order to analyze the hacking environment, to observe the true criminal action, and to apply the 4W approach in order to acquire and disseminate for free all over the world. We started a long time ago in September 2004, and we have to accomplish with all of this. I tell you straight that right now we are stuck it up over there, and I will explain you why. We did also send questionnaires, and the important thing was that we had to gain the trust of the hacking underground community and allowing them to be 100% anonymous. We received more than 1,200 answers, but it has not been only through email. I personally flew and met like 800 of them from face to face all over the world. I have to underline, whatever I'm going to tell you is not from phase one. It's all together. And as I specified you, as you will see the profile in a few slides, it's not like that we expect an industrial spy to answer us online, of course, but we had the chance to spend some days together. So we evaluated on the MO, if they used to hack alone or as a member of a group, this is so important. Why, who, and which is the relationship between the why and the who? If they ever had or will have or they wish to have a hacking career, if they know, they believe and understand the principle of hacker ethics, if they do the damages or the crash on the systems that they attack to, if they have the perception of the illegality of their actions or not, and if there were some effects on laws and other stops, just as to throw roll eye to mitigate the hacking. I have to run now because I only have 8 minutes more, so I will really have to run. You will have all this I said, but only those three. So here are our 9 profiles. So at the beginning I was telling you, let's stop to say just hackers. We have a script kiddie, wannabe, and so on and so on and so on. So you can't claim that there is no difference between a QPS and a script kiddie, come on, or an industrial spy and a military hacker. And at that time, well, and we started back in 2004, we were the first one in the world to spot these two profiles, because it was much more earlier of the NSA scandal, of the attacks from China and so on, and so on. So we were proud to be able to foresee so many things. This is what I mentioned to you. No one of them, of these profiles, of course, we haven't included the last two profiles, because obviously, they don't care about the laws against hacking. They really don't care at all. Why? Because I will tell you, I'm good. The police will never be able to get me, to bust me. So we ask them, okay, if they will arrest your hacking friend, will you stop to do hacking? No. If they will be arrested on their own, only these two profiles, they will decide to stop and maybe do a new thing on job or moving on the good side. We published a book, is one of the two books on this topic. But I think that you understand that cybercrime is different from hackers, because right now cybercrime is so organized and well-founded. They really are able to profile. They are so sophisticated for real. I really have to run and play the clip because it's amazing. This is a good thing for you actually to study. We decided to zoom in even more. Now I will start to skip the slide or just give you small comments on everything that you are going to see. With HPP 2.0, actually, we did a mistake. We didn't include hacktivism because back in 2004, there were no hacktivism at all. We didn't include the cyber criminals that they don't do it anymore as a hobby. We didn't include the organized crime at the time, the financial aspects, and these guys. So what do we want to do? It's here. Pardon. We want really to go after the kingpins. We want to understand everything I'm showing here. And this is happening not only because Mr. Ban Ki-moon is stressing out, hey guys, do something against cybercrime. And he's right. We have the clip and the mother. I don't pretend all of you to understand every action this guy is going to do.
There's a film with your best interesting art, the market for fun.
This is actually an advertisement. Yes, please. Oops, yes, I have to move it because it's dual screen, I'm sorry. This is an advertisement campaign that a cyber criminal, he decided to run on the web in order to find adepts and partners.
Deze film wordt je beste investering ooit. Het maakt je gegarandeerd rijk. Krap op die wallet. Jij bent zo meteen 100.000 euro rijker. Dus zorg ervoor dat je een doel hebt.
Hoi.
Goedendag, Kranenberg.
Hallo.
Ah, kijk.
Eerst in Nederland?
Ja.
Hij is een paar maanden uit. Volgens mij staat hij 6 kilometer op de teller.
Als je over 2 weken bent, ben je 90.000. Contant.
Ja.
Om je geld compenseerbaar te innen, heb je money mules nodig. Oftewel geldrezen. Ik heb een hele bij de hand vraag voor je. Heb je zo'n geld gezien?
Ja hoor.
Ja, wil je pinpas kopen voor jou?
Oh nee, dat gaat hem niet
worden. Nou, wat heb je op je rekening staan?
20.
20? Geef ik jou 250 euro voor je pas en je pincode. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Zie je hem?
Ja.
Stek die in je zak. Zie. Voor de tafel. Zet je de pinko op. Is het 200 euro? Oké, nu gaat het allerleukste werk beginnen. En dat is het vullen van deze rekening. Ik heb er 1000 tegelijk opgekocht. Dat zijn dus PC's waarvan we vanaf hier heel makkelijk in kunnen.
Zo, Aquila, as I was telling you before, he bought a botnet.
Oh, dat klopt niet. Wat voor code heeft hij wel staan? Wat staat daar? 6, 5,
2, 3,
2, 3,
9, 4.
So, it's the victim that is giving the puzzle.
Ja, heel goed. Hartstikke bedankt voor je tijd. Bent u mevrouw Gilsje? Ik spreek met Bart Bruin van de DNG. Ik wil de van een koop bij de hand. Als het goed is, heeft u een liftje binnengekregen van mij?
Ja. Now you are understanding why at the first stage you stop the people in the street to get an ATM, especially the young people, because they are at risk. And you have to put ATM cards in the bedroom. And now he's cashed out. But the point is that this cash out was not his goal.
It's the starting point. In order to induce your eyes. Geef hem een betrouwbare naam.
Now he met a break.
Mensen gaan dan denken, hey, dat is betrouwbaar,
so
dat is gratis.
So he goes to get a drink.
En die gaan er direct op.
And he does something that for...
Dus waar je zou het zo
standaard
is het voor te doen.
So don't mandatory connect to every free of the find around. But if you do, use encryption.
Daar zit ze. Blom. Hallo, Marlies. Wacht. Oh, heel leuk. Hier komen van de kerker. En de kerker ligt daar op tafel. Oh wow.
How long? Not long! Cause what
this
you
is
reap
not so
is
cyber,
what you sow!
But this still works. Now we go to the real approach of the sky.
Work to Ukrainians. Oops. En dan andere ook een klein vliegveldje, dus iets moeilijk met het paspoort en de wagens.
Meneer Blok, wat is dat?
So intriguing. Actually, he's going
only
to
cash.
This guy that is the boss of a call center of the cyberpunk. And
you
will see in a few minutes, in a few seconds, the cyber criminal will ask to him, can I see that? Here we go. And look at the face of the guy. He's tempted. I have a new customer, but I will have to show too much intimate about my infrastructure. And then he decides for a yes. And here you're going to see the cybercrime, the call center of a cybercrime. So hundreds of employees doing the same action that the guy was performing alone. So it's industrialized.
Yes.
It's the same excuse over the phone. Have you seen a pop-up error, Mr. Matt?
You
don't use it from home. So the job is over today, kaboom, multiplied by 7. Again, in China, it's not that hard to launder the money.
Apparently.
Times like the party and whatever, and he made the 100,000 that he wanted, so now he can get back and buy the luxury car. And why? Because he wants to show to possible adepts and partners, come on, if you join me, you will be rich as I am. So, I hope that it has been clear with you that the Ordo hacking has not always been into the criminal side. We still have a lot of job to do. Imagine that we did everything that I showed with you, HPP, in our free time in five people. So imagine what we may do if we will be more. And everything was funded on our own. So we look for some support and help from governments, institutions, and so on, because we think that we have been able to do something that is nice and didn't exist at all. Whenever you will see the slide, here are all the books. The one in red actually are those that are really advise you to buy and to read, because they will open you a world. And this is my order from Amazon a week ago. So plenty of. That's it. Thank you. If you want actually to know more about HPP, is over there. If you want to contact me, is there, or via GPG. I don't think there is the time for the Q&A, but I will stay here. Actually, my plane is at 4, so I think I will be here until 2 average. Thank you so much for your attention.